welcome once again, my friends, to the Irish in Sweden podcast. My name is Philip O'Connor, and you are listening to the podcast. The weekly podcast comes out every Monday for the Irish community here in Sweden. Coming out a little bit later on this Monday because it's been a very busy weekend. I hope you got through your St. Patrick's Day okay. I think the last time we spoke to you was from the St. Patrick's Day parade here in Stockholm, and that was last week's podcast. We brought you a load of voices from that. This week I have been down to visit my good friend and fellow musician and Wexford man. Now, I'm not a Wexford man, but he is. Ian Maloney, to see what they were doing down there and how the music scene is going for the time being. But before we get into that conversation, a lovely little trip down to Gothenburg there. I went down for the Women's Champions League. I was working at that. And out to Hisingen, which is where Beko Hecken play. And we're actually going to have a little bit more of a chat about football in the coming weeks, because next week the Allsvenskan starts. That's the Swedish soccer league, right? And for people, Irish people in general, we love sport and we love rugby and we love soccer, we love all sorts of things. Well, people often come over and they wonder, you know, well, how do I pick a team here? We got you covered, lads, right? There's loads of lads already in Sweden and girls already in Sweden who go to loads of games and they follow particular teams. In the case of the wonderful Emma Ridge from Galway, Emma goes to see a lot of women's football games. I've met her at Hammarby games, I've met her at Djurgården games and that. And there's great entertainment to be had out in the summer. And the funny thing is, for people of my generation, right, 53 this year. When we played football in Ireland, when we watched the League of Ireland, that we sort of followed the English system of playing in the autumn and the winter, and then, you know, in the spring the league kind of ends, right? Now, I don't know if you've been to Ireland, right, but the weather is generally pretty poxy around that time. But in Sweden it's the other way around. So now when the snow has melted, that kind of thing, this is when the football season starts, and it can be absolutely lovely altogether, not just now over Easter weekend, but in the future, to be out and about, and especially in June, July, August, the old Olympic Stadium there. Now, they don't play many games, they only really play women's games there, but the Olympic Stadium in Stockholm is a cracking place to go and spend a Sunday afternoon watching football. The Friends Arena is always good crack down in Malmö. I know there's a lot of people who go to Hisingen and to Häcken, but Gothenburg has great places. And even Degerfors and up in Sundsvall, we played football tournaments, and Gävle, who play in Superettan, we played football tournaments on their home ground. And I think actually Gävle GEA are training up there at the moment, you know. So we will have a podcast hopefully in the next week or so, just with a little bit of background to the Allsvenskan and how various Irish people got into it and the teams they support. And that should be a little bit of crack. Before we say we have a chat with Ian, a huge thank you to the sponsors to the podcast. Martin Heshen has been there from the very beginning, from Veerstrom's Pub. Now that the rugby season is over, don't be a stranger, lads. There's still loads of Champions League coming up. There's loads of soccer on the television. There's a trad session, I think, every Monday night now. There's an open mic. There's still the usual blues and music and covers and Brian Burns and all sorts of people turning up there. So make sure to get your tables booked early, because, of course, it is one of the most popular Irish pubs in the country. So you want to make sure that you can get somewhere to sit down and have a pint and have a bite to eat. We're also in the discussions with some other sponsors around the country, and I'm delighted with the positive response, because, as I've always said, this is a community podcast. It's a community supported podcast. It only exists because you do, right? And that means the people over here working for different businesses, the people over here who married Swedes, the people working in the schools, the people who are working on building sites. And even if you're only here for 3 months or 6 months, or you're rotated in and out, or maybe you might be gone back to Ireland already, but you want to keep sort of one foot in the community, this is the podcast for you. Last but not least, I mentioned that the snow has melted. I know the Stockholm Gales are up and running with their training, and so are Gävle GAA. I've seen Malmö doing various bits and pieces. I'd say they've probably moved outdoors by now down below in Malmö. The first big date of the GAA calendar this season is April 27th in Copenhagen, lads. April 27th in Copenhagen is the first Nordic Gaelic Football Championship, right? And I'm throwing down the gauntlet, especially to those of you down there in Malmö and in Gothenburg now, right? Get your women's teams out there, right? The lads will always look after themselves, because, you know, somebody will jump in, make up the numbers, that kind of thing. Get out there, find, you know, young handball players, find, you know, the friends of your daughters or people you need to work with, that kind of thing. Bring them out, get to the testing, this thing out, bring them across the bridge to Copenhagen, and we'll have a great old day all together. There's something about the first tournament of the year. You know, we've been doing this now for more than 15 years. It's a brilliant buzz altogether when everybody comes back after the winter. You have new players coming in, you have old players gone, and it's just this great crack altogether. And you're never too old, as I intend to illustrate when I get down there on the 27th of April, but more of that the closer we get to it. Right, on Thursday morning, I got up early and I went off to meet Ian Maloney. Ian was heading down to Malmö, as I think we mentioned in the podcast interview, to play in Fagans. Now, Ian has been over here for a long time. probably the guts of 20 years, came over here with his band from Wexford called Cousin Bill. And Ian and I used to play the same circuit back home. He was more down towards the southeast and I was more in Dublin and the west and that kind of thing. We would have bumped into each other then. And then the band I was playing with won an award from Hot Press in, I think it was 1995 or 96. And then Ian's band, Cousin Bill, won it the following year. So he came over here on tour then, because that was back within the days when bands could go on tour here and you get, you know, you could play five nights a week in various towns around Sweden. And Ian came over here doing that, met his lovely wife Madeleine, they got married, he stayed here, then he got into being a booking agent, he's a brilliant photographer and that. But most welcome that he has gotten more and more involved in the Irish community down below in Gothenburg. And this year he took it upon himself to sort of organise as much as he could a St. Patrick's Day celebration. So that happened in Bean's Bistro, which is owned by Ian McGlinchey. Ian used to own the Dubliners and may well own Irish bars again in the future. But Bean's Bistro, the village bistro is how that would translate, was the sort of the centre, if you like, for the St. Patrick's Day celebrations down below in Gothenburg. So I wanted to catch up with Ian and see how they get on with their crack down there and what the plans are for the future. And Jesus, lads, there's big plans. And as usual, you catch up and you tell a few yarns and you know yourself. So here he is, the legendary Ian Maloney from County Wexford, living in Gothenburg, taking the place by storm, an overnight success after 20 years. Right, third time lucky, Ian.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
St. Patrick's Day in 5 minutes. What happened down here in Gothenburg?
Well, nothing much on the grand scheme of things, but it was an opportunity to meet new and old people, especially the newer members of the Irish community that I really didn't know existed. And it wasn't on that I basically knew they existed, because obviously not everybody goes to the bar.
Yeah.
You know, every week.
Strangely enough, yeah.
But also the fantastic work that Paul Curley, Adrian Kelly and Cormac Bryan have been doing behind the scenes with the Gothenburg Irish Group has really brought the community closer together.
Yeah.
And not only that, but the catalyst, I think, most of all, was the visits of Ambassador Gormley and Ambassador Jones, and the help of Doreen Burke and all the staff of the Irish Embassy in Stockholm,
yeah,
which is the real Irish Embassy in Stockholm.
Not the pub here in Gothenburg, the same name.
No.
There's no chance of getting a passport in there, and if you do, please don't use it. It's like the stars aligned this year, right? Because there seemed to be a desire from people like yourself here, and Cormac and Paul and Adrian and others, and there was a desire from the embassy as well. Now, you mentioned there that this year, so it was more or less a sort of a family gathering at Bean's Bistro, which is an Irish pub in all but name here,
right? Exactly. It was fantastic. Met people from all over Ireland that are willing for next year to, for the coming months even, to give up their time, because here we get questions on the Gothenburg Irish Group. Is there anyone teaching Irish dance? And I've met one person in particular who said that she might be interested in doing that.
Yeah.
And adding a bit of Irish culture to Gothenburg. And as well as that, I would put up a post on Gothenburg Irish Group the other day asking for information and help and sponsorship and everything for next year for 2025. And the response that I got was phenomenal.
Was it, yeah?
I mean, from
this is for a parade now in Gothenburg as well.
We're going to debut the first ever, it will be the first ever legitimate St. Patrick's Day parade, and not the three-legged race that some people are talking about.
But Micheál Glennon was involved in a few years ago.
Exactly, but we're definitely going to go full in for next year. So we want to be on a par with Stockholm, and fair play to Miller down in Malmö as well.
Doing a great job.
Peter, he did a great job down there this year, and obviously we want to try, being the second biggest city, we want to get as close as we can to Malmö and Stockholm in...
I somehow don't think you're going to be happy with the second biggest parade, though. You know, you always want to go one bigger.
Well, it's better than none that we've had none for 75 years.
Basically. When you met these people at Bean's Bistro, because there was a great family occasion there, there was food, there was music from early on in the day, people came out of the woodwork, because we've always had that problem here in Gothenburg in particular, in finding that community. Now, as you mentioned, we don't all go to the pub anymore. Where have they been all these years? Are these new people in town?
There's quite a few now, especially with IT and stuff like that. I think it's there's a lot of people that came in, and not only that, but maybe there's a lot of people who don't believe in coming into the city every weekend and stuff like that.
Yeah.
You know, I was surprised and to meet so many, and I was gladdened and heartened by it. So yeah, well, what basically nowadays said they're willing as well to get on board, and I think it's, as I said, I think it's a lot to do with the Gothenburg Irish group.
Yeah, that the Facebook really, group is really kicking off.
It's,
yeah,
it's really, really, it's, you know, stretched out its wings and got to places that, you know, that, as we said, pub life or club life or even gigs wouldn't even reach, you know.
Mm. It's fascinating to see because, as I said, we're kind of behind the scenes for so long. You still have the old guard. I was texting Ronan Morgan this morning. You have Phil O'Keefe down here.
Yeah, I was with Phil on Sunday, actually.
Well, yeah. There was a St. Patrick's Day celebration.
Yes, you know, just, great we just had a couple.
Just one or two. Yeah. And then you moved on to the next couple, and the next couple, and the next couple. Are you getting a lot of students? You know, when you set up the Gothenburg Irish Group on Facebook, do you, you know, because you'll be one of the admins there, you'll see people coming in.
I've only become an admin in the last week, by the way.
Is that right? Yeah. Somebody else says, I'm not doing this anymore.
No, still
in. What sort of people are you getting in there? Are they academics? Are they people coming into high-powered jobs? Are they people who've married into families?
I think it's a mixture of everything, and I'm glad to see that they're not all sexual immigrants either.
Like our good self.
I can actually put my hand up and say that I'm not.
I was desperately trying not to admit to that, but I thought I will have to, you know.
No, but I'm glad to see that there is, yeah, there's people who are well-educated that are here to, you know, obviously, that are involved with, you know, major manufacturers and stuff like that, which is fantastic to see as well, you know
all these Irish companies that we hear of, and they were very generously sponsoring the Patrick's Day Parade up in Stockholm. You had Collin Engineering, Assure Engineering, you have Kirby's, you have Lionsight, you have I'm bound to be forgetting, so Silverback was another company that was involved there. There's loads of great companies out there, and I know, you know, the sin of omission here, somebody's going to call me out on this one, but do you have those same companies involved down here? Is there a big Irish presence down here yet?
See, this is where we're going to find all this out in the next couple of months,
when you start asking people for money.
Basically, I know, but I think it'd be. I mean, obviously, it'd be in their interest to that. You know, Gothenburg, the second biggest city in Sweden, will be having like the debut parade next year, which will be getting obviously well televised, well publicized. I think it'd be in everybody's interest to kind of jump on board. We're not asking for that much.
Yeah.
It's basically just to help out, show their strengths and you know, bring us from strength to strength. So every year we can expand and make the good Irish community here, and we want to be as inclusive as we can as well. You know, it's not just the Irish community. We want to have on board the English community, the Australian community, the Swedish community, everybody from all over the place. We want to be as inclusive as possible.
Yeah.
Basically, we're not leaving anybody out. That's the main thing.
Yeah.
Because I've seen the interest. I mean, look at. You know yourself, bowling alleys go green for St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
It's not because of National Irish Pride or anything.
It's because they want a few quid, isn't it?
A few quid for the booze, you know.
Did you see a lot of that around here? There was a good bit of that greenwashing in Stockholm,
didn't you? Yeah, there's been so much of it. I mean, look at the, you know, just, I mean, there's jumping on the coattails and there's jumping on the coattails, you know. But at the same time, I'm glad that their interest in it basically has shown that there is an Irish community in Gothenburg and Stockholm and in Sweden, basically.
Well, we're very much a broad church as the Irish abroad when
it
comes to St. Patrick's Day.
Yeah.
On the wider scheme of things there, we were talking just before we started recording here, so please don't libel anybody now, right?
No, we
were talking about the sort of music industry here, because obviously you've been playing in bars here since you moved over God knows how many years ago, and you were saying that things have changed a little bit.
Dramatically.
You're working as an agent. You're off to Malmö now to play in Fagan's Pub over this coming weekend.
Yeah.
How has that changed?
Well, basically, it's unfortunate for bands. It's not unfortunate for me. I mean, but as I said to a lot of the bands that ring me up now, and I'm really sympathetic to them, because they're ringing me and they're asking, okay, Ian, so you have a new agency. We loved working with you before. Could you get us some gigs, you know, like we used to do? And I said, lads, I'm really sorry, but I can't. Because with COVID, people realized, okay, we can't have four people on stage. We can't have three people on stage.
They can't afford it, simply?
It's a troubadour's world now, because the budget that they would normally put out for a band, they can cut that in half, get the same amount of people into the bar, and they're making the same money.
Yeah.
If not more.
Well, that's what I suppose. The extra few quid goes back or stays in their pocket, kind of thing.
So, I mean, it's great for people like myself, and, you know, but... But I've no interest in getting back into a band anyway.
Yeah.
When I go to Ireland, I play with my band over there.
Yeah. Because there was a band that brought you over here, Cousin Bill.
It was,
back in the day,
back in 98.
Well, you reckon those days of, you know, a bunch of Irish lads getting in a van and driving halfway across Northern Europe?
I couldn't do it again, even the thoughts of getting on the
getting on
a luxurious bus now for 3.5 hours does not interest me in the least.
I remember Marco driving up from Gothenburg to Stockholm. You know, what was Marco's surname? The Dutch, the drummer lad.
Oh,
fascinating
yeah.
bloke. I played in a van with him for a while, and we drove back. It took about 9 hours because he'd forgotten to put the winter tires on the
van. It was us. I arrived here in Gothenburg the very first day. It was a Saturday. I'd never forget it. Sun was splitting the stones here in Gothenburg.
Yeah.
We were going to Stockholm the next day to get a ferry to Helsinki.
Yeah.
So I said to the ordningsvakt on the door, I said, Paco, has there been any snow? He says, no, we haven't had snow since Christmas. Woke up the next morning, Ford Transit van was covered half deep on the avenue. And, of course, we never knew about snow tires. And it took us like the same as yourself, 9 hours to get from Gothenburg. And then to go to Helsinki, where it's minus 26.
Oh, God, oh,
the only time I ever said minus 26 was on a bus.
You learn your lessons fast in this world, don't you?
I certainly do.
Do you still get a lot? I was speaking to Lucia and Maria, two Irish fiddlers.
Maria Ryan,
yeah. You know them, right?
I do, yeah.
So they played at a concert in Stockholm because they studied for their masters down here
for two and a half years.
Yeah. Did you have a lot of dealings with them when they were down here?
No, I didn't. They used to play with my good friend Jimmy Walsh.
Yeah.
Scottish Jimmy, do you?
I know Scottish Jimmy, yeah.
They played mostly with Jimmy and stuff like that. So.
And would they have done the same sort of circuit as, you know?
No, not compared to Nobby. I think the girls were basically based here.
Yeah.
And did a little bits and pieces because they were more specialised with the fiddles and
actual music, like rather than playing Creedence tunes.
Sense. They watch you, yeah.
Well, no, I was talking to them because they were looking to come back over, and there is this difference now.
Now I think there would be, for the likes of the two girls, there'd be a huge openings for them.
Yeah.
Especially now that the Irish thing is getting very popular again. You know?
Yeah.
Thank
you, Cillian Murphy, for that. You know.
And Ian Maloney, but Phil O'Connor.
When you're looking at that, right? Because you mentioned it's a troubadour's world now. So if I'm Irish and I'm living in Dublin or I'm living in Wexford and I'm playing the guitar, have a few of my own tunes because we all started playing original music.
We didn't start
playing country roads,
no.
You know. And then we started mixing the two. And I know you still do your own music alongside that. Can you still take a guy out of, you know, Crumlin or Enniscorthy and bring them over and get them to do the same thing?
Myself and Roland Flynn with the Jellyfish bookings that we have, we are actually bringing people over, we've started it this year.
Yeah.
Because we want to branch out a little more into Swedish territory again. We have a few venues as it is that we do, you know, like with the likes of Brian O'Connor, Lockie, and, you know, some of the most fantastic musicians.
Yeah.
We're delighted to have them on our books.
Yeah.
But we are actively seeking, I mean, top guys to bring over.
Yeah.
And I think there is an interest from Uppsala to Gothenburg to Malmö, even further afield, to get a lot of these guys on board, you know.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate that a lot of the guys that we would look at in Ireland, we would know that are selling out 5,000-6,000 cedar venues. They wouldn't sell out a 5 or 6 seat venue here.
That's the thing, isn't it? Yeah.
You know, so it's unfortunate that you know, even with Spotify and stuff like that, they still need to tour.
You still have to start from the very bottom,
exactly.
Don't you?
Exactly.
But that was kind of the way, because when we were playing music in Ireland in the 90s, and you would be doing great in Ireland, but then you go to London, nobody had any idea who you were. You went to New York, and it was like, nobody had any idea who they were.
I remember playing, you know, we were like yourselves, talk of the town for, you know, a year after we won, you know, best
the hot press band of the year, kind of thing.
And you were the year before us, weren't you?
That's right, yeah.
We were the year after. And I remember playing in the Mercury Lounge in New York, you know, headline on Saturday night, and people were just going, okay.
Yeah, you know, next.
You know, and then, you know, as I said, you know, Sweden, Denmark, and then it wasn't that we had the shout, "The can this be any whiskey in the jar?"
Yeah.
And when you did it, whiskey in the jar, with, you know, the utmost of contempt, that
you still know that's our don't
you? You basically, the audience went wilder for that than they would for any of your original songs.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I was like, okay, well, obviously it's more known, but I was like, wow. And then I realised when they come up, and after a little while they were going, "Can you spell a Creedence?" And you go, "Yeah." There's 150 kroner for that song.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Can you do whiskey in the jar? Yeah. There's 150.
There's 150 in the bank.
Although plus mom's 180. Here we go.
There was no mums back in those days, I can tell you. But did you say you gradually sort of slid away from when you play your own stuff now? Kind of like when Gray played a brilliant song of his own on this podcast a couple of weeks ago. And there's like, you know, there's a time and a place for that, right? The open mics and view strums and that kind of thing. Yeah. But for the most part, you've got to go and throw the raw meat to the balconies, kind of thing.
You have to. I mean, it's like what we used to do was basically bring in little by little. Instead of playing like 10 covers, we would start doing like 8 covers, bringing in 2 really good up-tempo originals or even really melodic.
Yeah,
and I don't do it anymore because
There's just no self-respect left.
But the thing is, what I try to do is keep the original stuff away from it as much as possible. Just get up there, do what I got to do on weekends, and go home and do what I got to do. But you know, I was thinking about knocking it on the head with the original stuff for a while there, and then I got out of the blue, I got a text from a good friend of mine that we did an album together, Stephen McKinnon.
Yeah,
and Stephen had said to me about. How about we get a new album together? And I went,
why not?
I mean, look, I'm not going to be on any Hollywood Boulevard or anything like that, or even, you know, I probably won't even get on the 6 o'clock news, you know. But at the same time, if 10 people like us, 10 people that wouldn't, you know, that would not normally, you know.
But it's the other side of the artistic coin. It's like, you don't do this because you want to. You do this because you have to. Exactly. What else are you going to do?
As I said that time in the book, I said, you know, it's a vocation.
Yeah.
You know, I remember all they talked about in school, a vocation was a priest. You had to be a priest or a missionary. That was a vocation. That was a real one.
Yeah.
But, you know, I didn't ask to be, you know, like doing this for all my life. But it just, that's the way it happened, and that's the way it is.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm still getting out there. I'm 35 years into it now.
Yeah.
Still making a living out of it, so I'm quite lucky.
You're heading down. One of my favourite songs of yours is one called "The Revenge of the Cover Band Singer." The chorus is "I hate that effing song." I think I've actually played it on the podcast before. You're heading off down to Malmo now. At the bottom of it, I know you like to come across occasionally a little bit cynical and that kind of thing, but you still enjoy doing it, don't you?
I realise that people are going out of their way to go, say, to Fagan's this weekend, or to Veerstrom's next weekend, or whatever, and they want to go and they want to be entertained.
Yeah.
And I was, and you're dead right. I was very cynical of the whole thing. I'd go in, and I was on, you know, automatic mode to go in, plug in,
play away, that's
play,
it.
Bang bang, go home, not even think about it. But now you go in, and the staff in all the places now are you know. So friendly, it's unbelievable. Yeah. You walk it, so you get a good atmosphere from the minute you walk into the place. You get up on stage, the people are up there, they're dancing the night away. My 3 hours are over in no time at all.
Yeah,
I go to the bar, have a last drink, straight home to bed.
That's it.
Wake up the next day, go for a nice walk, get ready for another night. But the cynicism is well gone. I think now I realise that I'm lucky after 35 years to be still actually making money out of it.
Doing a few hours of the night on stage and enjoying
exactly,
doing it, you know?
That's basically the nitty gritty bit, you know?
You've been together with your wonderful wife, Madeline, for a long time now. Yeah. What does she think of how this sort of progress has happened? She fell in love with the young boy band star, Ian Maloney. Don't know how that turned out. Does she sort of look at you when you're leaving the house this morning with your guitar under your arm and go, is he ever going to grow up, kind of thing?
No. She goes, okay. We say, what's on that?
Bring home the bacon, that's
yeah,
it.
Like, yeah, see you Sunday.
She's happy enough for that.
She understands. My daughter understands as well, you know, that, you know, this is what I do.
Yeah.
And I told, from the outset, I've always told people who, you know, that I've been involved from bands to, you know, relationships, that this is what I do.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, hey, don't.
This comes before everything, really, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, then you get people like Madeleine, who's very understanding, very patient, and she, you know, that's the way it is. It's the way, my way of life. At this stage, you know, I can change now because it wouldn't bother me in the least. I know that in 2 weeks' time, I'm still, you know, I can still walk into a bar and say, do you need a gig next week? Yeah, sure.
No bother.
No problem.
So, I think, isn't there that great song by the Pecker Dunn? Wexford, for your hometown, and he talks about, like, you'll never be idle if you can play a banjo or if you can sing a song, and you'll never be idle at all.
I'm so lucky to have friends that are like in their 80s and they're still playing.
Yeah, still tipping away.
You know, I mean, it's like I look at Billy Atkinson, Billy Jones, we almost from Sláinte.
Yeah.
And Billy's been doing like albums. You know, I think Billy is in retirement days now at this stage, and he basically retired from the live circuit.
Yeah.
From touring, just this year.
And, but he's still tapping away.
And he's still tapping away. You know, yeah. I've nothing but admiration. Tom Riley, the same.
Yeah.
You know, I met Tom last week, and Tom is like.
I think as we're talking, Andy Irvine is playing in Yon Shopping tonight with Quilty. Wow. They're back, And Andy, Jesus, Andy's not shy of 80 at the moment, and still brilliant.
It's unbelievable.
Can you see yourself doing the same thing though?
I hope not.
But the thing is though, we can't retire because we spent so much time fucking around when we were younger that we had no pensions or any of that crack.
I think I'd be fine for the first 2 weeks sitting in watching the TV,
Netflix.
Usual, go to bed at 9 o'clock. And then after about 2 weeks, I'll be chomping at the bit and scraping at the door.
Getting back out of bed a half an hour and going out.
They're open now for 2 o'clock. What time is it? That's just only half eight. I've been in bed since six.
I catch one anyway.
Turn up 2 days later.
Would you still have the energy for 3 hours at the night?
Oh, absolutely. I've actually way more energy than I had when I was younger.
Do you? Yeah.
Way more energy. I think it's because I have an interest in it again.
Yeah.
And I think as you get older, people say, oh, whatever you do, don't, you know, if the minute you sit back and, you know, realize that you're getting older, that's when that sets in.
You start to decompose and fall apart.
So I don't allow myself to do that.
Yeah.
You know, I still go out, take my long walks, go out with my camera, go out, you know, do whatever I have to do to keep, you know, keep alert, keep acute.
Yeah,
and then just get in on the weekends, and I'm playing now these days from crowds from the age of 21 to like 70.
Yeah.
And each and every one of them are up dancing and loving it.
Yeah. Know? Have they changed? Because I remember years ago, I was DJing at a wedding many years ago in Dublin. My father doesn't drink, and he came and sat beside me because everybody else is having a few drinks. Yeah. He's going, okay, how do you do this? How do you plan this?
Yeah.
And I had a very specific way because once you get women on the dance floor, then everything else happens by itself.
Yeah, yeah.
Have you had to change your set in recent?
Because
you could get away with the same shit. Yeah. What new songs are in there now? What do people want to hear from
this
you?
This is not a joke, right? There was a girl in Denmark, and she was coming up to me all the time. She's going, can you spiel Beyonce? And I told you, every time she was coming up,
wanted you to play Beyonce.
And I was going, no, I don't know Beyonce. And it was like girls called Taylor Swift. And I said, you know what it is? My daughter was listening to it at home.
Yeah.
That's not a bad song, actually. I could do that, but that'll be my version of it.
Yeah.
You know, and then it was like, so then I get on a thing. There's like, you know, you've got your crowd there, and they're 21. It's not like before when they're all in their mid-30s, late 40s.
Yeah.
Now it's like they're in from early 20s. I get up and I sing Beyonce or whatever, like they're up on the floor straight away.
Yeah.
And they're that's them for the rest of the night.
They're delighted with you then. You've won them over.
It's not even that, but I still get kids coming up there, like 20, 19, 20. Oh, check, there can just be a little credence. I go, what?
But I suppose they grew up, like, you know, at midsummer and the Christmas time, that kind of thing, when their parents are having a few drinks. That's the stuff that goes on.
What age are you? They go, 19. They said, but Creedence, I think they've been all dead since 1968.
They weren't even good then.
But it's the same. I don't know if I said this to you before when we were talking. I got the best piece of advice when I moved to Sweden. This Shen, this mini Shen, this guy, he spoke to me. He says, okay, Maloney, I'm going to give you the best piece of advice you're ever going to get. And I said, okay, tell me. He goes, one, you are Irish, maybe you're hot-tempered. And I went, no, I'm not hot-tempered. And he goes, well, don't hit anybody over here because you will go to jail. And I went, okay, well, I'm not going to hit anybody. He goes, no, but if you have self-defense, you have to take it very easy. And I went, okay, or you will go to jail. I said, okay. And he said, secondly, you have to pay your taxes religiously. If you don't, they will spend 1 million kroner to track you down for 10 kroner. And I went, seriously? He goes, yeah, you will go to jail. And I went, oh, jeez. He goes, thirdly, I said, oh, here we go. And what's he going to tell me now? And he goes, learn the greatest hits of Creedence Clearwater Revival.
John Higgins said the same thing to me. He said, country roads and Creedence. If you're going out without them, you're on a loser straight away.
That's what the guy said to me. And you know what? It was the best thing that was ever said to me.
It's unbelievable, though.
Just
you know?
That piece of advice. It was comedic, but at the same time, it was the best you could get.
It's amazing, these like little nuggets of truth that you come up with. You know? One of these days, I'm going to make a documentary about why Creedence are so popular here and nowhere else in the world, right? Couldn't get arrested.
When I look at, what's his name, John Fogarty.
Yeah.
And he plays a solo gig in Globen in Stockholm. A solo gig.
12,000 people.
Yeah, solo gig. 1,000
kroner thing. I said, you should be more famous than he is here right now, you know? How's the photography going? Are you still taking out the camera?
Yeah, I've been back at it. I'm working for West Coast Music Magazine, at the minute.
Yeah.
West Side Music.
Lovely.
So we've been doing people like Per Hegstrom, Kim Appleby from Prosterbeek here, Per is from Kwepet here in Göteborg.
Yep.
And then you have, like, and his wife is also. And so many, you know, up and coming musicians and promoters. We've been really, you know, I've been doing a lot of portraits. Very interesting people that I've met.
Yeah.
Multinational as well.
Yeah.
Which makes it even that little bit more interesting, you know. See what their take on the whole Swedish culture and their own culture mixed together, and it sounds amazing. You know?
Yeah.
You know, I met this one guy last week, Emiliano. He does like a mixture of like nylon string guitar with like almost like cigarettes. So it's like,
yeah.
You know, I was like, wow.
What the hell is this going to be? Yeah.
Amazing. So it's like.
Does he do Creedence? Does he?
I'd say if I asked him to do.
Everybody here does Creedence for money. That's it.
No, but it's the photography. Yeah, I keep my toe in the water, and that's about it.
Yeah, you put up these lovely pictures on Facebook every now and again when you've been out walking with Evie, and they're just tremendous. I always sort of click on them, so they always pop up on my feed, and I'm delighted to see them. Make a pitch, right, for the Irish people in the Swedish Irish Society in Stockholm, for the people in the embassy listening to this. Yeah. What do you need from them now ahead of next year? Do you need advice?
Expertise. Yeah. That's it. That's literally it. And as I said, and the Swedish Irish Society have been very forthcoming with everything.
Yeah.
They've been fantastic.
This is how we've done it. These are the mistakes we've made.
They've called me numerous occasions over the last couple of months to, you know, to give support. And if we were going to do the parade this year, which we were hoping to, but you know, the logistics of trying to get, you know, police permits.
It takes a long time.
And I'm so glad we didn't, because now we've reached even a bigger part of the community that we wouldn't have met this year. So next year now, it's all systems go.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the only thing we need from this is their support and expertise. Basically, that's it, you know. And whatever they help us with, we're open to it. Absolutely open to it.
Delighted to run with it.
Yeah.
And finally, Jellyfish is the name of the new agency that just
been around for about 5 or 6 years. Ronan Flynn. Ronan's originally from Dungarvan, Ireland.
Yeah.
And it's Ronan's brainchild. And
yeah.
Both him and I... There's something about Ronan that I saw myself in him years ago when I was doing the booking, and I saw that he had the same enthusiasm again.
It hasn't been knocked out of him yet.
Yeah, but he's so enthusiastic to see new bands and bring bands over, and I think that's what got me back, you know, give me a bit of an edge again to get back into it. So I'm based here in Gothenburg, and Ronan runs the show from Malmo, basically.
Yeah.
So when he'll ring me and I'll ring him, we'll see what we can do. But if there is any Irish venues out there that are looking for Irish musicians, we're more than willing to come in and help.
Yeah.
You know.
How do they get in touch with you? How's the best way to get in touch with you?
Just ian@jellyfishbookings.com or basically Facebook Ian Maloney.
Yeah.
Just let me know.
And of course, you can always get in touch with the Irish in Sweden podcast. We will connect people all over the country.
Brilliant, Phil.
Ian,
brilliant.
It's been a pleasure as always. Thanks for talking to me.
Thank you, Phil. Appreciate it.
There you go. That was indeed the wonderful Ian Mocha Maloney, to give him his full stage name. Brilliant. It's actually been fantastic the last little while, having the opportunity while Heck and were playing in the group stages of the Women's Champions League to be able to nip down there and to meet Ian and to meet Aunt Morrissey and our various friends on the West Coast. Unfortunately, Hammarby's women won the league last year, so they're going to be in the qualifiers for the competition this year. So I'll have no excuse to nip down 3 or 4 times like I did this year. But we'll find another reason, because it's great to get down to the West Coast, and I'll be heading down towards Malmo now soon enough and having a chat with the locals down there. Peter Miller, of course, was mentioned in that interview, doing brilliant work down there. They had their parade down there in Malmo and that, but there's loads going on behind the scenes. And I think I said to Carmel Melkvist, who's the chair of the Swedish Irish Society at the moment, that, you know, Gävle is another place where we have a lot of Irish people up there, and we really need to dig into that. So now, hopefully after Easter, I'm going to nip up there, because I've spoken to a few of the companies up there and we're talking about various different things. But I'd really like to get a feel for the Irish community that's there, because I know a few people like Tom O'Connor have settled there, their children have moved over, going to school and that, but there's still a lot of lads and girls rotating in and out. If you're one of those lads or girls and you're listening to this podcast, you're very welcome. This is for you as well. But we'd love to hear how the other half lives above in Gävle. So if you have any invitations for me, if you're up to any gigs going on in the community, do me let me know, and I'll happily come up and I shall bring my microphones with me. I'm going to play out with a song by Ian. It's one of my favourite songs that he has written and recorded over the years. I'm going to play out with that in a minute. Before I do that, patreon.com/errorman in Stockholm. patreon.com/errorman in Stockholm. Support the podcast for £5 a month, right? I'm delighted to have so many wonderful sponsors on board, and more coming on board. But really, the long-term thing is going to be sort of, you know, it's going to be supported by listeners, you know. So if you can get involved in that, that would be tremendous. You can also swish a few bob to 123-2424-166. 123-2424-166 is the other way to do it. And you know what?
share the podcast if you can, especially like I put all my podcasts on the one feed just to keep it easy, right? So you have this podcast, the Global Gael podcast. There's another one that I do occasionally called Iron Man in Stockholm. And then there is the Premier Swedes podcast that I do whenever I come across a footballer, two of whom have let me down recently. But we shall get to that, you know. But all of that is going to be on that. It's all the same feed, all costs the same money. So, like, you know, £5 a month would be absolutely brilliant. And if you would, please share the podcast, right? Because the last few weeks, especially on the Global Gael, I have talked to some fantastic women on the Global Gael podcast. We had Mary Lou MacDonald, the leader of Sinn Féin, was on there. We had Holly McGlynn, a brilliant Irish photographer working in London. And we're hoping to do an event in London now in April, the 16th of April. So spread the word around, lads and lassies, and we'll get things sorted out as we go along. Because, as I say, I love making these podcasts and I want them to try to reach the broadest audience possible, right? That is it for this Easter week. Lent is coming to an end for those of you who are observing it. There'll be a half day on Friday for various office workers and that kind of thing, and a half day on Thursday, and then a day off on Friday, and then there's a big long weekend to come after that. So enjoy it. Take care if you're out there. For the love of Jesus, if you're out there on ice or anything else like that, make sure that you have people with you and all your safety kit and that kind of thing. The last thing we want is to be surviving the winter and then going through the ice at this stage of the year. Wouldn't be good enough at all. So take care of yourself however you decide to celebrate Easter. And we'll be back again next week. I'm not sure now, depending. I might be able to get hold of the lads I want to talk to for that Al Svenskan football podcast. I might be able to get hold of them this week. If not, it might be a little bit later on next week, but sure, you can't say you weren't warned. Until then, my friends, take care of yourselves, take care of one another, and I'll be back again very soon with another episode of the Irish in Sweden podcast. Let us now play out with Ian Mocha Maloney and Your First Time. Talking in her sleep.
you stop.